This is Franchise Today, brought to you by FRM Solutions, providers of the best-in-class software solutions for franchise relationship management. Franchise Today is your destination for weekly information, conversations, and interviews with accomplished industry leaders, all of whom share best practices for sustainable growth and sensible franchising. Here now, your host, Stan Friedman, to kick off this week's podcast.
Today is Wednesday, April 17, 2024. I'm Stan Friedman, and this is Franchise Today. Well, this week we wrap up a trifecta of interviews with some amazing platform trainers, keynote speakers, and best-selling authors. And we do so in style, as we hear today from a member of my Canadian franchise fam, Gary Prenevost. But first, many thanks to another compelling, engaging, and entertaining member of the platform speaker circuit, Ricky Kalman, who put a different spin on mindset alteration with hypnosis. If you haven't yet downloaded last week's episode, do yourself a favor. Go back and grab it at franchisetodaypodcast.com. Ricky Kalman will wow you. And while you're there, please remember to make guest recommendations, check out my blog posts, show notes, and growing archives of interviews dating back a dozen years or more. And of course, please drop a review to let others know how much you enjoy listening to Franchise Today. It will be much appreciated. Okay, a quick pause here, and I'm back to introduce you to yet another amazing member of the franchise fam, Gary Prenevost. Stay right there.
Franchise Today will be right back, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Franchisors of restaurants, bars, and grills, and multi-unit franchisees, listen up. This message is for you. If you're looking to engage guests, elevate profits, and enhance your customer experience, Atmosphere TV is the answer. What's Atmosphere, you ask? Atmosphere is the world's number one streaming TV service for businesses, here to help you make more and save big on overpriced cable packages. Atmosphere provides you with a free programming option with some 40 engaging audio optional channels designed to please customers and increase their average ticket. So, how does it work? Well, it's easy. Upon sign-on, Atmosphere sends you a free device loaded with eye-grabbing entertainment. From news and sports to viral videos and fuzzy animals, every channel is family-friendly and designed to keep your customers happy and engaged. Plus, thanks to Atmosphere's 100% audio optional format, the programming is perfect for any setting, no matter how loud or busy. So stop playing and paying overpriced cable. Go with free TV instead. Just go to atmosphere.tv/signup and use the code franchise, and Atmosphere will waive the usual one-time $99 activation fee for your free-to-stream device. Visit Atmosphere online at atmosphere.tv, and remember, use the code franchise to waive your one-time activation fee. Visit atmosphere.tv to elevate your franchise's entertainment experience today. Gary Prenevost has served on the board of directors of the Canadian Franchise Association for some 15 years and has been a FranNet rock star for some 21. Now he adds the title of best-selling author to his resume, as his recently released book, The Unstoppable Franchisee, has already soared to USA Today's list of top 10 bestsellers. And this week, Gary's here to tell us all about it and more. Gary Prenevost, welcome to Franchise Today.
It is absolutely my pleasure to be here, Stan. I've listened to a ton of your podcasts. I think it's one of the best ones in the industry.
All right. Checks in the mail, Gary. Thank you so much for those kind words. It's a pleasure to finally get to do this with you. We've had a few false starts in trying to get ourselves scheduled, but that's what happens when busy people try to tie themselves down, right?
That's correct.
So, Gary, we know that franchising is something that we don't find. It kind of finds us. And we're waiting with bated breath to learn when that was for you and what that looked like when franchising came along and tapped you on the shoulder.
For me, it was 1990. I was in a family business. We were selling live and artificial tropical plants. And one of my clients, I guess I did a good job at selling them, and I got to know them over the next year of nurturing. And they basically said, why don't you come work for us selling franchises? It was sales, management, leadership training, customer service. And so I did that. There was too many family members in my business, and lots of anything to do with family business. You know what? It can be crazy, right? There's good and challenges. So I left that business and got into franchising. And within, 7 months selling these, at the time they were licenses, I went to the owner and said, hey, I'm working half the time I used to. Give me something else to do. And he said, yeah, well, you can buy a franchise. So I did. So I became a franchisee for 10 years with that brand and built it up to 110 franchisees. And then eventually, about year seven, I took it over with my partner. And then 2002, I divested of that. And Lloyd Shears from Franet kept on he was one of my lead sources. And for 2 years, he was saying, you should come do Franet. You'd be really good at it. So finally, 2002, I did. And the rest is history. I've been with Franet for 22 years, had a great run with them and still having it. So that's how it got to me here.
And so you're one of the few people, I think you may be one of the only people that I know that has sat on all three legs of the franchise stool. I think you've been both a Zor, a Z, and a supplier. Am I right?
Franchisor, franchisee with Franet, but also master franchisee. We bought the master for Allaire Homes, which is custom home building, did that with a couple of partners. With iFranchise Group, I worked with iFranchise Group pretty heavily for 5 years, helping companies become franchisors. And if you'll forgive me, Stan, before all of that, I was a banker. So I've even sat on the banking side. So yeah, I have that unique four corner lens.
Pretty amazing that you get that perspective and you can help others who are coming into this thing with glassy eyes, not knowing what they don't know, as prospective franchisees, to have the ability to be shepherded by somebody with your depth of experience as their counselor and coach to make the proper decisions is something that they're very lucky to have.
Well, thank you. Part of the reason that why I came over to Franet, about 80% of all franchises are bought directly from the consumer to the franchisor. And back in the early 2000s, it was still a little bit Wild West-ish. A lot of people were being seduced by the opportunity and not doing enough research. And I saw Franet as the path to really help them clarify their goals, their criteria, where are their skills, their skill gaps, and really pick the right business.
Well, you've done a phenomenal job of that. I'm proud to tell you, I remember my days with Tudor Doctor having the privilege of getting to work with you on prospective franchisees. And there's a handful of people in this world that are standouts, whether they're as franchisors, as franchisees, and as suppliers. There's always a handful of people that just gravitate to the top of the 5% of the best of the best. And you're one of those guys, in my view, that has always been consistently at the top of the game. So no wonder that somebody like you gets to write a top 10 USA Today bestselling book about the unstoppable franchisee, but we'll get to that. We don't want to unpack that too quickly. Let's talk first about some of the milestones, Gary, that have led to that opportunity and have seen you in service for so many years on the board of directors of the Canadian Franchise Association. These things didn't just happen. So take us through some of those milestones of the early days of your career that bring you to the place that we're at today.
I'm happy to do that. But first, I want to say thank you for those very kind words. It means a lot to me, Stan.
All true. All from the heart.
I guess the first milestone was moving from entrepreneurship into franchising. That's that transition I talked about. And it was selling the franchises for that first 9 months or so. It was learning things. But once I started becoming a franchisee, like how much work it took. I think this is so many people underestimate. Just because it's a franchise, it doesn't mean it's easy. It means there's a similar path. And I had to walk that path and conquer some fears. Believe it or not, I was quite shy. And I had to get out and learn how to sell professionally, all those different elements, and just built that business. But once I got into Franet, it was applying the learnings of communication, of helping other people set their goals, see where their gaps are. But going after their dream, a lot of people go after their dream, but they don't back it into structure. If this is important, how do I convert it to a plan and to goals and to action steps? And I think that should be done before somebody buys the business. They know why it's the right business. They know why the right industry and all that. But if they don't know how they're going to execute before they buy, then they haven't done their homework. So I internalized that very quickly. And when I launched Franet, I was lucky enough to have a good market area. And I had the third fastest start in the company's history. And then very quickly, I started building a small team. And after 2 years, I doubled my growth. And then I got the team on and then doubled it again by year four. So at year four, here I am making more money than I ever thought I could, having a really well-balanced lifestyle. And one of my curses then came back to haunt. And anybody who knows me knows for many years I suffered from squirrel syndrome and the next shiny thing. And I got the business up. I was running a good business, but I got distracted with another business. And so I kept Franet running in the background. And I went and bought a master franchise from Europe. It was in 38 countries. We traveled to different countries and analyzed it and brought it to Canada. And over the next 3 years, did everything we could to grow that business and just make it work. I became really good at one thing. And that one thing was losing money. We lost $1.3 million and shut the business down. And that was 2008. And fortunately, I had Franet running in the background, but that was life-changing. All the things that I knew about franchising, all I should have known better in some of these things, but we just had some blind spots that came back and really haunted us. And so I came back to Franet with a vengeance and with a focus that I'd never had before. And I think this was where, when I look back in time, where the essence of the book got its genesis. I'd been running good businesses for the different parts of my career. I was good at jobs. So I was proficient, but I was good at launching. I really liked the challenge of launching. I liked the challenge of building. Once it got to a plateau, I got bored and I would find the next shiny thing. And so I went from proficient to something different. When I came back in 2009 to Franet, I made a decision to move from proficiency to mastery and just restart my business, my team. I didn't want to take the business away from them that they'd been running and managing. So I started over, new division, like a new channels for leads. And I just went like a fury at learning how to be brilliant at this business. And I went from 400K to just under $1 million in 1 year, and then went up to just almost 1.5 million within 2 years, when I'd never done more than 400K in anything in my life.
It explains to me why I feel the way I do about you, because those are the years that I first met you. It was around 2010.
Yeah, that's when we had our run.
So you went through a bit of leveling up on possibility thinking and crashing through ceilings and getting rid of self-limiting thinking, didn't you?
Yes. And to be specific, good to great, BHAG, I set three levels of goals. My base goal, no matter what, come heck or high water, I had to achieve the base. That was survival. My stride goal, which was a stretch goal, that was beyond anything I'd done. So my base was 450, my stride was 650, and my BHAG was $1 million in 2009. And I did 997. That's how close I came to my BHAG.
How did the next year look?
I set the BHAG for 1.2 and did just over 1.25.
So what was it besides good to great? It had to be more than that. You lit fires that you probably didn't even know you had burners available to light. What else contributed to that change in your behavior and thinking?
Yeah, well, going back to what I said about the goal, it's goals. It's if you set goals, but you don't put them into action steps and then execute and anticipate what's going to be in your way or what are the levers to drive it, and then have sub steps for when you encounter those challenges, then it's that much more difficult. So I went through that thought process when I set my goals and built the plan for the year, and I just kept on repeating that. I could see the path to 650 pretty clearly. I didn't even know what would come next, but I was open for opportunity and I was ready. The old saying, opportunity is when timing meets preparation. That's what I kind of governed myself by.
That's an amazing and great story. So walk us up through some other milestones. In 2009, you became a member of the board of the Canadian Franchise Association. You still sit in that capacity, don't you?
I do. We just had our annual general meeting at the Canadian Franchise Association conference this past weekend in Montreal. I've had the opportunity to, like, I was Franchise Support Services, which is a supplier. I started out as the chair for that and sat there for 5 years, just working with suppliers. And again, just having the opportunity to understand a different side of the industry. But one of the fascinating things that I love about board work is you get to work with some of the leading minds in Canadian franchising, C-level executives. You get to see how they think, how they process information, how they deal with adversity, and just the deep care for the franchise industry. That's universal across all the board members, is we just care so much about how to do things right. And I love the IFA, the messaging of the IFA conference this past year, responsible franchising. We really have to move in that direction. More and more franchisors.
Could not agree with you more. So Gary, you've done a great job of laying a foundation for the audience as to your bona fides, who you are, why you're here today. What do you say we take a quick break? And when we come back, On the other side of that break, let's dive into a conversation about this USA Today top-selling book, The Unstoppable Franchisee, and talk some about the book and the value that it brings to those who aspire to become unstoppable franchisees. You're listening to Franchise Today. I'm Stan Friedman with Gary Prenevost, the rock star in the franchise search coaching world with FranNet in Toronto. And we're going to be back in 2 minutes or less. Don't go away.
Franchise Today will be right back, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Franchise Today is brought to you by FRM Solutions, offering the only CRM tool built exclusively for franchising that lets you have it your way. Whether you're a single brand needing professional tools across departments or a portfolio of brands needing franchise-specific CRM across the enterprise, either way, FRM satisfies the needs of many with the power of one. That's right, one single instance of FRM is all it takes across departments or across brands. So if you've had it with inflexible, one-size-fits-all CRM, end your frustration today. FRM offers robust dashboarding, tailored reporting, and with open APIs, FRM pushes, pulls, and integrates with other databases, providing you with a single source of truth. Don't just take my word for it. Visit them at frmsolutions.com and order up a demo today. And we are back with Gary Prenevost, wearing many hats in the world of franchising north of the border, member of the board of the Canadian Franchise Association, a rock star for years as a franchise search coach with FranNet of Southern Ontario and Eastern Canada. And now the latest feather in his quiver is Gary is the best-selling author of a USA Today top 10 book called The Unstoppable Franchisee. And Gary, I shouldn't leave out the fact that you keynote as well, don't you? Talk at conventions for franchisors?
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite things to do, engaging with the franchisees and doing the keynotes and then doing the workshops to help them understand where to get unstuck.
All right. Well, why don't we start with that and tell us about what inspired this book and how long have you been working on bringing it to market?
I actually started writing a book and hired an editor in 2013, and that was going to be a book on how to buy a franchise. But then I bought a master franchise and totally derailed that. So I just kind of put the book on the back burner. I mean, but 2018, 2019, I had this question keep on coming up over and over again in my mind, which is, why don't more franchisees just engage the system? Whether it was my franchise or we saw a lot of franchisees when they're doing their validation calls, my clients would hear the difference between top performers and average performers. And it didn't matter what brand it was. Every franchisor, I think, has the same challenges as a lot of their franchisees get to a certain point and plateau. Some of them are running good businesses. Some of them are running average businesses, but either they personally get stuck or they personally choose not to go farther. And that's always been, being a competitive high achiever that I am, Stan, it was, why has that never been addressed? And I went looking for some answers. And so 2019, December 27th at 7:38 in the evening, I can tell you the exact moment, I looked over to Lindsay and said, it's time for me to write my book. And within a week, I had an editor, and we put a book plan together and we were pitching publishers. And then over the next 18 months, I did the research. I interviewed over 30 CEOs of franchise systems, some of the biggest franchise systems on the planet, some fast growing, some founder owned. And the focus was, what do the top 1-4% of their franchisees do that the rest of the franchisees don't? What were their traits and characteristics? And what do those same people not do that the average franchisees do? Then I interviewed their top 1-4% franchisees. And these are people who 30, 50, 80 units, or just the rock star B2B franchises. I looked at the top 4% as Pareto's Pareto, the 80-20 of the 80-20. And that was my benchmark. And I asked them the same questions. And I came up with that's how I came up with the seven drivers. Those were the seven common crossovers that the C-level executives had that the franchisees had.
And then where to from there?
Well, from there, the 18 months of weaving, and that was the beautiful thing that I look at. I was weaving a tapestry of other people's brilliance. I brought in a few of my own perspectives from all the different lenses that I've sat on, but I wanted to write a book. It had good information, but it was also able to be used. So there's a ton of exercise. There's actually a workbook that can be downloaded as part of the book for people to go and meet them where they are. If one person that might be working on their operational issues, somebody else says, hey, I need to get better at understanding what are the core KPIs, whatever it is, it meets them where they are and helps them get to the next step. Then they can go back and what do I do next?
I like that tapestry of other people's brilliance that kind of resonates with me in a couple of different ways. I guess through Zor Forum is one of those, and right here on this podcast every week, I just sit here and bring the best of the best to tell their stories and let them weave the fabric of their genius. I like that, Gary. I'm going to use that again. So what's the mission now with the book? How are you going to market and saving souls with this book and inspiring people to be their best selves?
Coming back to, I wanted it in the hands of franchisees. That's where it does the greatest impact. When I do keynotes for franchisor conferences, most of my clients, the franchisors, are buying it for all their franchisees, whether it's on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Chapters, the Canadian ones. Some franchisors, they want the franchisees to have skin in the game and buy it. They feel that it'll use it more. Some franchisors will say, hey, I understand most of our franchisees will use it, a few won't, but the benefits in the culture building and the common languaging that we can start using will really help the system. And I think this is one of the core elements of where I see the book, Stan, is it's the franchisor's their biggest responsibility is to help franchisees have better financial and lifestyle results, drive the franchisee success at the unit economic level. That only comes when people are doing better at different core things with their businesses. And this is where the franchise business coach, whichever iteration a franchisor might call it, when the franchisee goes through my book and does the exercises and self-identifies, it's a bridge to their coach to, this is what's my burning platform. These are my priorities. These are the things I need your help with to really focus. And I believe really strongly that people should not be focusing on more than one or two critical things. And this was from one of the top franchisees I interviewed, is you embrace it, you work it until it becomes part of you. So it becomes part of the system, your own internal system, then you move on to the next. So you got to internalize so you're not thinking about how to do it anymore. And After the book came out and I started doing the keynotes, I realized something else that when people move to that stage of mastery, now they're experts, like true experts, that's the time for them to delegate, teach somebody else and move up to their next level of focus instead of coasting at that mastery level.
What kind of time frame are we in here, Gary? So let's say you're doing a keynote the first of the month for a franchisor and the books are being distributed at that convention. We have to give a period of weeks or a month to have everybody read that book, and then are you brought back in to then host workshops? Is that how it works?
We haven't got to that second round yet on engagement and driving the key points. I think where we are seeing activity is where I'm doing workshops to get unstuck. So these are specific workshops that the franchisees will come into with us. But after reading the book, they'll choose a couple of areas that this is where I want help. And we'll just as a group workshop it and help them move to their next level. And from other franchisees in the system are sometimes where the best answers are. Coming back to that, I'm the tour guide. They have the answers of their own specific execution.
Got it. And it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. Will you do this across brands? Will you have groups where there are franchisees from multiple brands at a table? Or how is it going to look?
I used to run mastermind groups, and I love the non-competitive sharing. And you know, you think about what is the IFA, what is the CFA? It's the coming together of different perspectives to drive excellence. So absolutely, that's one of the visions that I have.
Well, I can see you leading a certain kind of group that I smile about every day, but we'll talk about that offline, won't we?
Yes, we will.
Gary, what do you give for advice to a franchisor in listening to this today? And I think you've touched so many different levers that there could be resonance from one friend, or just like franchisees, there could be different levels of touch points that you've resonated with today. What can an emerging franchisor do first after going to Amazon and buying the book? What do you recommend then? How do they get this implemented or get a program started?
Getting the book and getting the identifying the common language that they want from the book that they want to have with their franchisees, whether it's emerging or 50 or 100 franchisees. What are the, and this is what I do with every keynote, is is, what does this translate to in your world? What are the biggest challenge points that are your franchisees are getting stuck at? What are the biggest opportunities that they're missing? And then that's where, whether they have discussions with me to drive that or they identify it themselves, then they can start putting the execution plan together. I'm a huge fan, and I can't put enough emphasis on it, on franchise business coach and the importance of having that support person to help the franchisee. I think more franchisors should strengthen their business coach bench.
What does the headcount look like? How many franchisees can a coach effectively work with, in your opinion, at one time?
That's the million-dollar question. I think back to the IFA. Greg Nathan was doing a half-day business coaching 2 years ago, and the discussion from the room was some brands had 12 to 16 franchisees per coach, and others were 36 or more franchisees per coach. So it depends on the complexity of the system. It depends on what the core KPIs are and what the measurements are. So it's hard to say. For my mind, I get boggled at more than 20. That's a lot of work for one individual.
Do you think that the post-COVID world of Zoom helps the absorption on that somewhat? I mean, I think there's still the need for face-to-face in certain categories of visiting a site and seeing what's going on and that kind of thing. But some of the intellectual things that you used to have to travel to do may make it easier for a coach today to round up to a higher number. What do you think?
I would agree. A big part of the coaching is accountability and agreeing on focus and then accountability to take action and then tracking and measuring. With FranNet, with the top performer group, that was really what helped us drive the shift that we talked about earlier. We held each other accountable. We met 3 times a year in person, but we were on the phone biweekly with each other. So it's the check-in points. Then what are you working on? What's working? What's not working? What do you need to adjust? And then the deep dive in person a few times a year. Technology is an accelerator and enabler to some degree, but if we rely on it too heavily, it can get in the way. And people learn differently and show up differently online than they do in person.
In our time left, Gary, I'm going to ask you to share with the audience from your point of view, what do you see as one of the largest changes post-COVID than pre-COVID to the way franchising as a business model is conducting itself?
Wow. What did I see? I think the biggest shift, and I saw a lot of brands do this really well, was the technology advances in the early stages of COVID just to survive. The level of communication between franchisor, franchisee, supplier, other stakeholders, and the speed at which they came up with solutions was astounding. I saw solutions that were 5 years away get done in under 6 months, and a story after story of that. And so that communication, the integral shift from, hey, we need to talk more frequently, and the embracing technology differently, more robustly, Stan, I think that's one of the biggest things best-in-class franchisors do, and more franchisors can learn from that.
And what about the roll-ups that we're seeing and the consolidation and the movement from founder-led brands to portfolio and private equity-led companies? What are your thoughts there?
It depends on the PE firm, the private equity firm. I'm a big fan of private equity when it's the buy, build, and hold strategy versus the buy, build, and let's get a sizable exit within 5 years. Private equity can really drive culture and drive growth, or it can challenge it. Alicia Miller's book, Big Money in Franchising, a great book for anybody who wants to understand private equity and the role of private equity in franchising. But I look at when you have strong private equity firms supporting franchisors and building the platforms, now you've got multiple brands driving with the same internal engine and support system. When done right, there's a lot of cross-pollination. You can get better marketing, but if a franchisee wants to scale into other brands, they don't have to shift into entirely different organizations and ecosystems. And there's more money for marketing and support. So I think it can be done really well, Stan, but I also have seen where it can hurt a brand.
Couldn't agree with you more on your perspective. Gary, we got a little bit of time left for you to give us your contact info. But before you do that, what haven't I asked you today that you wished I did?
You know, I've been pondering that question because I know you ask it. Where am I having the most fun after the book? My FranNet business is still going very well. I'm actually working right across North America now, not just in Canada. Where I'm having the most fun, though, is getting one-on-one with franchisees at franchisors conferences and doing the keynotes and then having the side discussions and the dinners to hear their stories and then following up with them, Stan, and hearing what they're doing with it. That's just, it's just so so exciting to hear that I'm actually touching lives in a different way.
Yeah, very rewarding, I'm sure. Gary, we got to get your contact info. And you'd say something just now that enlightened me as to the fact that you're no longer territorially restrictive. So you can work with people anywhere now. Is that right?
That's correct.
Well, let's tell them how to find you, Gary. What do you think?
The book is theunstoppablefranchisee.com. That's where my keynote business and all the information is for that. And frannet.com/G Prenevost. And then my cell phone, Stan, is 416-219-0610. I like when people text me and say, hey, this is why I'm reaching out, because I get a ton of calls. And when I see the text, it really helps me to understand and respond quickly.
Well, you're a pretty courageous guy. I had a guest on who is a well-known multi-unit, multi-branded franchisor of a little concept, Self-Esteem Brands, Dave Mortensen, with 5,500 franchisees on every continent, including Antarctica. And when I asked him for contact info, he gave up his personal cell phone number. I said, man, you've got courage. That's not something that most executives will do at that level. So I salute you for your transparency as well, Gary. And your audience appreciates that, and so do I. And I hope nothing but the best for you and the book and your business going forward in this year and the years ahead. Gary Prenevost, USA Today top-selling author, franchise search coach and consultant with Frannet. Thank you so much for being here today.
It's truly been my pleasure, Stan. Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap for this week. Next week, we'll be joined by Jen Chaney, Vice President of Franchise Development at Right at Home. Until then, I'm Stan Friedman, wishing you the best, the very best of all things franchising, and Franchise Today is out.
Franchise Today is a production of FRM Solutions, providing best-in-class CRM tools to empower relationships with prospective and existing franchisees. Find them online at frmsolutions.com. Join Stan every Wednesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Franchise Today.